I can only see your heads, but I know you're up there. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Woo! The anointing God. You. Oof. Oh, my name is Pastor Harris. If you don't know who I am, I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible, and it's my privilege and honor today to bring God's word to you. And I'm excited for God's word today. Amen? Excited to be in the house of God? Excited to be in your Father's house? Amen. 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 Well, hello, wonderful church family. How are you? Awesome. Man, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Somebody had to do it. It was you. I'm blessed. All right. If you don't get that, y'all got to listen to the podcast or get on our website and look at the last week's sermon. Y'all know what that means, right? Anybody else? You're like, okay. All right. Somebody had to do it. Now you're all like, man, it should have been me. I had pastor. I had him. Can you believe this is the last Sunday of February? Now, I'm serious. Now, some of y'all don't think I'm very old, and some of you think I'm pretty old, right? I'm getting some salt in this pepper. I'm getting older, all right? I even found one, like, right here this morning. I'm like, dude, where that tweezer at? Amen, amen. But life goes so quick, church. It's quick. It is the last Sunday of February of 2020. I can't believe it. Like, this June will be, I graduated high school 20 years ago. To me, I'm like, what? When did that even happen? Right? So this morning, right? Now I feel old. Right? It's crazy. But here's the thing. Here's what I've realized. As I get older and older and older, things become sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and more precious and more precious. And time is precious. You don't want to waste it. I remember being younger and can't wait for that next birthday. Now I'm like, March is rolling up, and I'm like, no, what? I don't want to get older. I'm getting close to 40. This is crazy. But it's just intense. It's insane. I know some of y'all laughing. Like, I know. But some of y'all are like, oh, that's really old. So I just have to talk to y'all. But listen, life is precious. It's precious. And I want to tell you this morning, I thank you for coming this morning to church, because you could have been somewhere else. You could have been doing something else. You could have been, you know, hanging out with Sister Sheets and Brother Pillow if you really wanted to, right? And for you out there on Facebook Live, that's you. Okay, amen. Come visit us next week, right? Y'all sleeping on Saturday. We don't start till 10:30 anyway, and some of y'all roll in at like 10:45. So you get to sleep in. It's all good. It's all good. Hey, I want to talk to you just about a couple things that I was feeling today. You know the supernatural is real. Okay? Well, we sang songs about certain things, and I know there's people in here today going, and I remember, see, I was raised in church, but I wasn't the church. I only went to church because that's what we did, and my parents took me. It wasn't until ninth grade that I got saved. And I remember I was raised in a main denominational church, right? And this church, it was a Methodist church, and I remember walking into a four-square church, which, if you don't know, four-square, open Bible, and Assemblies God, we're all cousins, we all believe the same kind of thing, so we're Pentecostal churches. And I remember the very first time I walked into a church like that, and I see all these people raising their hands, I looked to my mom and I said, why do all those people have questions? Like, is the pastor going to call on them? I've never seen that in my life. Right? Maybe in a movie or something, but you're like, those guys are crazy. I'm going to tell you two things. First is this. If you wonder why we worship and the way we worship and we're all in, is this. There's a thing called being fanatical. And everybody's fanatical about something. Right? If you've ever been to an NFL game, an NBA game, a college game, you see fans, fanatical, crazy people. But yet you don't go, oh, they're crazy, do you? A lot of times we don't. The world doesn't say that. But we here at First Open Bible, we are fanatical about Jesus. And that's why we worship the way we do. It's not a show. It's because we're expressing everything we're feeling inside right now. God, there's a word right there that I'm singing about, and I can't just stand still, right? I got to do something about it, and I got to move. And I don't know about you, but I come from a family of dancers, so we just got to move no matter what, right? A good song comes on, and we're just like, hey, that's my jam, right? But this is why we do this. Because I know there's some people visiting today and you wonder why we do what we do. It's because we love Jesus. And in God's word, in Psalms, it says that you can celebrate with clapping. You can celebrate by raising your hands, by kneeling, by laying down before the Lord. You can use, you can shout. You can use cymbals. You can use instruments, right? Bring your cymbals next week. Hallelujah. I love this song. Ting, ting, ting. You're like, oh. Then I'm going to read what Paul said. If you don't have love, it's going to be like a clashing of cymbals, right? It's going to be annoying. Okay. Anyway, let me move on. I want to say one last thing is this. The supernatural's real. You might not see it. You might not feel it. I'm going to use an extreme example. Hitler, Stalin, these weren't just bad people who grew up in a bad environment that made some bad choices. They were possessed by the devil. It is evil, evil, evil. And when there's evil, there's also good. And when there's good, there's also evil. It's a darkness and light thing. What we're doing in here today, I want to tell you, no matter what you brought in that was dark today, it's meeting the light. Right now, it says in God's word that you're the light of the world because you have the presence of the Holy Spirit in you because God is light. And what's cool about light is this. No matter how dark it may be, just one little light gleams and lights up the place, right? It makes the darkness flee. It has to go. So today, whatever you brought in, there is a light coming to that darkness today. God is going to heal you in a supernatural way because the evil and good are real. The devil is real. God is real. There is a real hell that people are burning in that the devil is going to go to one day. And there's a real heaven. And we really worship. And we realize that this is not the only life that we have to live. In a lot of ways, this life is a test. It's a test. You know what's cool? Y'all got a cheat sheet. His name's Jesus. Y'all got the answers, right? You just got to look over and ask him, right? Or you just got to bring a cheat sheet with you, a Bible. Supernatural's real. And I want to say something. Devil, demons, if you're in here right now, you better flee in the name of Jesus because we got business in here right now. And we're going to cast off things that have been broken. We're going to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out anything that is not of you right now because this is a house of hope. This is our Father's house, and this is where he lives. And if you want to go, you can go down the street, but you're not welcome in here. You must go in the name of Jesus. Amen? So today we're going to finish the last Sunday of our month. Our month's theme is for preaching and prayer, and it's called this. It's called connection. When I think about biblical connection, I think about relationships. There are all different levels of relationships in our lives. Jesus modeled that for us. Jesus had relationships that he was really close to somebody. He was intimate with them. He had close relationships, right? He had the 12, which is pretty close, and then he had his three. And then we also know there's relationships that are from more of a distance. People were part of the crowd. Jesus had many people following him everywhere that he went. Not everyone can be your best friend. Likewise, not everyone is supposed to be just part of the crowd in your life. Relationships matter. All relationships have their place in our lives, and they have their place within the church as well. The first century church teaches us that. If you read Acts chapter 2, it gives us an awesome layout of exactly what relationships should look like, exactly what we should do in church, and exactly what church should look like. That's why we're going and God is stripping the fruitless parts of us this year in 2020. Everything that we think church is, if it doesn't line up to the word of God, it's gone in the name of Jesus. We're not going to play religion. Nobody likes religion, right? The world don't like it, and really we don't like it. And you know who really doesn't like it? Jesus. Jesus doesn't like religion. He preached against it. He yelled at people about it. He was totally against religion because religion doesn't connect you. It binds you. But Jesus came to connect us. Jesus came to set us free. See, that's why we have connect groups. You heard about it this morning. If you came, you heard it in our announcements this morning. See, we have something like connect groups or something like them. It's super important to a church community because it takes people who feel like just part of the crowd into a relationship with other people within the church, into a personal and maybe an intimate relationship. You can be close to somebody. You can get connected because we're called to connect. So the second session of our connect groups is tonight. Tonight. Amen? Come on, she's happy. You're happy. You're happy. Everybody else don't get it. Amen. Come to the second one, you'll get it. Trust me. See, what is a connect group? What's a connect group, Pastor? In essence, it's a small group, but with great emphasis on connection and friendship in the Lord. The Bible calls this koinonia. It'll be a safe place to believe, to belong, and then to become. There's seven groups we have going right now, and check this out. 100 people are involved with them. 100. Incredible. They're from 6:30 to 8 o'clock on the second and fourth Sundays of each month. Some groups are here in the church, and some groups are in other homes. Please check it out, try it out, give it a few times, right? Nobody goes to one thing one time and just says, ah, right? You don't do that for anything, right? If we did that the first day of work, you'd quit. Because it's always about training. And you're like, this is the most boring thing ever, right? So you got to try things out. When somebody comes and visits a church, I always say this. Try at least 3 times. You never know if there's a guest preacher. You don't know if it was off. You don't know if there's a missionary coming. You don't know if something's coming. You don't know the feel of the normal church if you just come one time and try it out. It's the same thing with connect groups. Come, try it out. Give it a few times and see if it fits in your life. If it doesn't, let your leader know. And you can sign up for a different one. This is for you to connect. That's what it's all about. These current connect groups, they're going to go through the month of June. Then, in July through the end of the year, we're going to keep a lot of these current groups and we're going to add on. Why? Because they're supposed to be small groups. I have one group that has upper 30s. Not so much a small group, but I don't have anywhere else for them to go, which is awesome. I'm so glad people are excited. If you have any questions, look online, look on our website, ask a staff member if you want before you leave today. Why? Because I want us to do life together. God wants us to do life together. That's what God wants church to be. Let's get connected. Amen? So last week, raise your hand if you're here last week. You got real up in here, huh? It got real. I was surprised about the altar call, and this is the reason why I heard over and over again, Pastor, I didn't know what to do. There's so much in me. I didn't know what to do. I'm thinking, I'm feeling, it's going through my mind. I'm pulling up old stuff. God's digging up roots. I have this internal struggle that is going on in my life. I don't know what to do right now. I got to think on that. I got to pray on that. And many of you said, I got to listen to that again. There's just so much that God is doing in me right now. Which is awesome. What do we talk about? We talked about pain, and we highlighted how we deal with it. Good and bad. We also talked about what to do with your pain, how to give it to God so we can hear the correct message in our pain in some way, right or wrong. You cannot not deal with pain. Amen? You live in a broken world, you have broken bodies with broken relationships. You're even broken. Why would we expect pain not to be evident in our life? Amen? It's gonna happen. So depending how you deal with your pain will determine if you're connected or disconnected to God. Depending how you deal with your pain will determine if you're connected or disconnected to other people and other relationships. So there's 3 basic ways that people deal with their pain that disconnects them. Number one, you remember what it was? You medicate it. You reach for something that feels good to just escape. See if you can find yourself in one of these 3. You reach for something to just escape from your pain for just a moment. Is it food? Hard drugs? Prescription drugs? Is it nicotine? Is it marijuana? Is it alcohol? Is it pornography? Is it sex? Is it working? Is it the approval of others? Is it buying things? Is it gambling? There are so many avenues. What are you addicted to? What addiction do you turn to escape the pain, to medicate yourself so you can feel good for just one moment? Just want to feel good for one moment. If you find anyone who's addicted to anything, the issue is not the issue. Food addicted, food's not the issue. You find a drunk or a wino, alcohol is not the problem. Addicted to buying things or whatever. See, the issue is never the issue. The real issue here, church, is pain. So what are you doing in your life right now to escape? What are you doing right now to escape that is powered by pain? Many times, when you find a person who's addicted, you'll find they do not want to talk about their pain. That's you right now. I'm talking to you. You're trying to pretend you ain't listening, right? I'm ignoring. I got to do something else. That person coughed, or that person's looking over. I got to get my mind off this because Patrick's preaching. Listen, zone in. This is your opportunity, church. This is and could be your freedom forever. Most people are addicted. They don't want to talk about their pain. I'm not going to talk about that. They're ashamed of it. Maybe they're still angry about it. Maybe they're full of fear. And here's a big one that we do, because we think we have to have it all together, Americans. You deny your pain. It's just denial. Psh, that didn't really happen. I don't really want to talk about that. See all that stuff? That's from the devil. It's evil. It's a lie from the pit. Are you fiending for something right now? As I talk about this right now, are you fiending for something that you're thinking about? I got to get after church and I got to go escape my pain. I got to get that one fix. I got to go back to that one thing. I'm really uncomfortable right now and I'm feeling it. And right now I can't wait for church to end. Pastor, be quiet. I got to go. Please understand your addiction is not the issue here. The issue is not the issue. The issue is your pain. Here's the second one. Maybe you deal with your pain. What do you do? Do you remember what it was? Motivated. Do you deal with your pain by making yourself busy so you don't got to think about it? Last week we talked about Solomon, King David, Bathsheba's son. Solomon handled his pain by never stopping. The guy was the epitome of an overachiever. He did so much stuff for God's people. But see, he was motivated by his pain. Is that how you handle your pain in your life? Is that how you're handling your pain from your past? Is that how you're handling your pain from your present right now? Is that how you're handling it? Do you never stop? Because the moment you stop is the moment you have to actually deal with things. It's the moment you have to face your ghosts. Man, this is for somebody right here. Is there somebody in your life right now that you are hiding from, that every time they come, you avoid them? Because you don't want to talk to them because you know it's going to bring something up. That's for somebody in here. Is there a family member? I feel like it's a family member in your life that you keep avoiding because you don't want to talk to them because you know it's going to hurt. Do you make yourself busy? Do you ignore, drown out, push past your pain? Maybe you turn on the TV. It's always on. Maybe you always have music on to drown it out. Maybe you're busy on your cell phone, or you're talking to somebody else about their problems, or you're always talking about somebody else's problems. See, if I just talk about somebody else's problems, I don't ever have to talk about mine. Or maybe you're texting all the time, or you're on your computer, or your iPad, or your tablet, or whatever, or you're watching the news all the time. Or maybe you're starting a new hobby. I don't know what it is. Maybe there's a lot of stuff. You just keep doing and doing and doing because you can't stop. Can't stop. Because if you do stop, you'll have to face your pain. You have to face yourself. Are you a workaholic? Been there. Isn't that what you're supposed to do in ministry? That's what I remember. Give your life for the church, right? Jesus did that already. I'm not the Savior. Listen, whatever you're doing, whatever workaholic, you're not the Savior of your job. You're not the Savior of your job. That mentality that the world puts upon you to make you a workaholic, it's not from God. God himself on the seventh day, He rested. Man, just chill out. Come on. Put it down, right? Take a break. That's a perfect opportunity for a Kit Kat commercial. Okay. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. But don't eat in here, right? Right? Remember that? We talked about that last week. Mary's here. I got you now. You don't eat food in here or drink in here. Why? Because there's not people lined up to clean up in here. That's why we allow water in here, right? Because nobody's like, hey, can I clean up this week? Right? That's for you, Mary. Amen. Are you trying to prove something? Are you motivating your pain because you're trying to prove something? Or maybe you're trying to prove something to someone? Who are you running from? What are you running from? What are you trying to drown out? Whose approval are you craving? Do you escape your pain by motivating it? Maybe this is you in the third one, or maybe you're a little bit of all these, I don't know. Third one is this, do you remember? Maybe you meditate on your pain. Something happened to you and you just think about it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Do you stew on your hurt and your pain? Does it motivate you? Does it cripple you? Listen, is there cynicism, unforgiveness, negativity, bitterness, chaos, unrest, unbelief, or hatred in your life? Do you hold grudges? Is it sometimes hard for you to let things go? Is there something that happened to you in your past that seems to come up often in your life and it makes you feel the hurt inside every single time? It feels like God is starting to heal it and then somebody just comes and cuts it right open again and then it's another wound. Does it just keep seeping? Come on now. Seeping. Ooh. Very vivid. Is your pain seeping? Maybe because you keep ripping off the bandage. You find yourself wondering, or maybe even planning on how you're going to get even with someone, or how you're going to get even with something that has hurt you. Well, they'll get theirs. Oh, I'm gonna get them back. Or maybe you do this, right? By the way, God doesn't answer these prayers, right? Oh, they hurt me, God. Now you go get them. Now you read in Psalms that King David oftentimes talks about his enemies and how God is going to go and fight those battles and he's going to get even. That's because those enemies were evil. But God died for that person you are so hateful to right now. He died for that person just as much as he died for you. See, if any of this resonates with your soul this morning, you meditate on your pain. Or maybe you're the silent type. You don't talk about it. You might even try to convince yourself that pain is something I don't really need to deal with. I'm making this bigger than it really is. So you just push past it. It's a small thing, no biggie. Forget about it. It's not worth my time. Let me tell you something. Pain never goes away. Yes, even if you think it's in your past, even if you don't think about it in your mind, but let me tell you, your heart knows it's been hurt. Hide it all you want, but your heart knows it's been hurt. People who see your pain, and they're going to see it through the way that you do day-to-day things, right? You're like, dude, that something off about that person. Something's wrong. Some of you might have the gift of, noticing things. Anybody have that? Right? You just know, ooh, there's something battle going on with that person right there. And you're like, what? No, they're fine. It's like, no. I got a discerning of spirits right now, and their spirit's broken. There's a demonic thing upon that person right there. They're feeling something. Something going on with them. A little bit off. Something wrong with them. So you can hide it in your mind all you want, but your heart knows it's been hurt. People will see the pain in how you deal with your day-to-day things. People will even see your pain in how you deal with your relationships as well. You see, pain never goes away unless. you give it to God, and he heals it. Remember, everyone, just because someone handles their pain differently than you do does not mean that you do it right and they do it wrong. The moment you start judging people how they deal with their pain is the moment you become a hypocrite. There ain't nothing worse than a hypocrite, amen? Everyone deals with pain. Everyone needs God to heal them. No matter how you choose to deal with your pain in your life, God wants to heal it. He wants you to know that he can set you free. Come on now, because he's the healer. We sang about that. I wrote that like 3-4 days ago. And this too, Jeremiah 17:14. God gave me this verse for you. Oh Lord, if you heal me, I will be truly healed. And if you save me, I will be truly saved. My praises are for you alone. Everyone in here deals with pain and hurts. We all have things we carry every day that weighs us down. You got those days where you just feel heavy? Come on now. Church, I'm preaching better than you saying nothing. You have those days you feel heavy? Maybe today's that day. Let's be honest in here. Is today a day you feel heavy? Say amen. That's you. You know what God wants to do with your hurt, your pain, and your heavy loads? He wants you to turn it to him, all of them over to him. In Matthew 11, verses 29 and 30 says this. This is Jesus talking to you right now. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is a yoke? You put that on oxen. You put that on animals that are grinding the ground. They're doing hard work. It's a yoke that they put. And Jesus says, for my yoke is easy and your burden is light. If you feel heavy because you're just grinding, man, you're just grinding out your life, Jesus says today, give it to him, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Because God wants you to lift that painful burden from you so you can live light. I want you to repeat after me, everybody. I know that God exists. Oh, definitely redoing that. I know that God exists. Do you? Let's talk like we do, amen? I know that God exists. That I matter to him, and that he is the only one who has the power to heal my pain. Pastor, you just forced me to say something maybe I don't believe. That's because you've been saying things that you think you believe and you've been crippling yourself. It's about time you spoke hope into your situation. God is breaking things right now. About time you spoke. You just prophesied. You spoke to things as if they should be, not the way that they are right now. See, salvation is instant. The moment Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, you are saved. Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
But freedom and healing, sometimes those take time. Sometimes it's layer by layer, and it's step by step that God heals you. So there's this movie in 1991 called What About Bob? He said, so good. Amen? Okay. Get off Netflix right now, y'all looking it up. Okay, watch it later. There's this movie from 1991 called What About Bob? See, this guy named Bill Murray, he's the main guy in this. He plays a guy who's neurotic and he's paranoid. Eventually, his therapist encourages him to take baby steps through his fears, right? He tries to do that by literally saying to himself, baby steps out of the house, baby steps outside, baby steps on the bus, baby steps out the bus, right? The whole idea is this. If he takes baby steps, he'll eventually overcome his fears. You know what? He eventually does. See, healing and freedom sometimes works like that, and it's similar like that in the kingdom of God. One step at a time. One layer peeled back at a time. See, perhaps today is the day that you start a baby step. You give God a layer of your pain and your hurt so he can heal you, so he can change the message that you believe that's in your pain. I prayed and prepared all week for this message, and I believe this morning God wants us to peel back and heal a specific pain many of you are carrying still to this day. You might be currently medicating it or motivating it or meditating on it, and some of you have been doing that for a really, really, really long time. So I've been leading in ministry off and on now for 10 years. I counted up. Isn't that crazy? 10 years leading. I've been involved in church since ninth grade, but actually becoming the leader in 10 years. And when you're the leader, especially when you're the lead pastor, man, that was almost 4 years ago for us, which, man, whole different ball game. Ain't no, a whole nother ball game. One thing I realized as being the lead pastor is everybody wants to tell you what's going on with them. Everybody. I have some insight for you today. There's a massive root pain for so many, many issues and so many, many situations and for so many people that they're walking through in their lives right now. It's a deep, deep pain that you have in your life, and it's the pain that you have from a parent. Look at me. You have a pain from your parents or parent. It's a deep pain. Some of you lived with both parents growing up. Some of you never knew either one. Some of you grew up or were raised by a single parent. Many of you were raised by an absent parent. You never knew your daddy. Never knew your mom. You believe they didn't want you. Or you were raised by an abusive parent. Or maybe, especially if you're maybe about 50 or older in here today, you were raised by an absent parent. A disconnected parent. They were home. They didn't talk to you about nothing. You don't do that back then, especially your dads. They'll talk to you about life. That's a woman's job. Take care of the house. I just make the money, right? That's not biblical. There's a pain with you right now, or you were raised by a disconnected parent, or you deal with something that was said from a parent, or you deal with a battle that something a parent did to you or didn't do for you. Many of you have step parents. I just read this, or I just heard about this on Wednesday. In 2007, they did a survey. Thank you. A survey in America. 2007, there's a survey that came out in America. 40% of all families are step families. That's more than half. That's almost half. Step families, 40%. Although I believe there's redemption, and a lot of times in having step families, anybody who has a step family here know there's a lot of things you deal with, huh? There's a lot of pain, right? Okay, there's this lie. I'm just gonna say it. There's this movie, Shake and Bake. What's that movie? Ricky Bobby, whatever, yeah, Talladega Nights. Anyway, the kids, they're going to get, these parents are going to get divorced. See, this is the world. This is how they lie. The kids are going to divorce. And they go, yay, two Christmases. And we laugh. Brokenness. They don't want two Christmases. They want mommy and daddy to work it out. That's what they want. I need my daddy. I need my mommy. I need it the way that you created it to be. Adam and Eve. You created daddy and mommy. It's the strongest bond that I can have as a child, except for my heavenly father. See, there's a massive root pain that so many of you are dealing with even today. You're dealing with this massive root. Maybe you have adopted parents, step parents, adopted parents, whatever it is, there's a lot of hurt from these relationships, and a lot of people have not dealt with it. You haven't talked about it. You pushed past it. You medicated it. You motivated it, or you actually might meditate on it. You might truly believe that you weren't wanted. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. Whatever the pain is from a parent, God wants to heal you today. God is going to speak directly to that pain you have carried from that parental pain. God wants you to take a step toward Him so He can peel back another layer of hurt in your life and heal your heart and mind. I want you to look real quick and intently. Actually, you don't need to put this up, Hunter. I'm just going to say it like if Jesus was reading it to him. It's in Matthew 19, verse 26. It's the back half of this. It's incredible the songs that you sang. Where's Brent at that you led us with? Brent, seriously. Incredible. Everything is just lining up. God is here. Jesus looks at you intently now, and he says this in Matthew 19, 26. He says, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. God can heal that root if you let Him. He can go where no man has gone before. He can peel back the impossible and change the message of your pain. Someone in here today, there was abuse in your family growing up. There's abuse. I know it's lots of somebody's. To be abused means this: to be misused, used improperly, to be used up, or to be wasted. To be used in such a way to cause harm or damage, or to be treated cruelly. Every type of abuse is damaging. Anytime you are misused or used in such a way that is the opposite of how God would treat you, it causes damage. It causes pain. And it can traumatize you. What is trauma? Trauma means this: abuse, especially repeated abuse. The person being abused becomes wounded and sustains a shock that creates severe and lasting damage to the psychological development of an individual. Any person who has been repeatedly mistreated, it changes the way you think. It changes the way you see people. It changes the way you see yourself. And it definitely changes the way that you see God. So oftentimes, it messes up emotions and it causes people to lose self-control in how they behave. So if there's like a lot of anger, if there's condemnation, if there's guilt, if there's frustrations, if there's hopelessness, if you don't deal with it, it will fill your heart. Those who don't get healed from it, it's going to cause you to become bitter and full of resentment. You can only take so much pain, right? I can only take so much pain before I got to do something about it. I can only take so much. This morning, you are hurting. You're hurting. Broken. You believe in lies of the enemy. You're full of pain from your parents or a parent. You've tried to escape the pain by medicating your pain or motivating your pain or meditating on your pain, your parental pain. I'll read God's word to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What does this mean, Pastor? I don't feel new. Can. This means this. When you know Christ, you have an opportunity. That's the word. You have an opportunity to never be hopeless again. You have an opportunity to never feel anger again toward that person or that situation. You have an opportunity to deal with that condemnation, and it must face Jesus. You have an opportunity to never feel guilt from that pain again. God offers you another way to deal with your pain this morning. There's another way. There's another way. Say it with me. There's another way. He offers you an answer, not to just escape your pain for a moment. Instead, he offers for you to be healed and set free from it forever. God can take any sized wound and turn it into a scar. He could take any sized wound and turn it into a scar. I personally like scars. I have some on my hands. Because I used to be a kid that was broken and hurting, and I used to punch my way through it. Every game I lost in basketball, something's gonna go down. Boom, I'm gonna punch something. Everybody's like, man, that guy's acting crazy. It's because I was so broken. I punched a box fan once. My wife remembers that. Early in our marriage. Box fan got nothing on me, dude. I tore that thing up. But I have a massive scar from it. Let me tell you something. Last time I punched, before God set me free, was July 3rd, 2006. I have scars to remember and look down where I once was and what God has done. Now, did I say it was an easy road? No. I went to anger management. Dealt with some things I didn't really want to deal with, but I had to do something because I couldn't keep living like that. Nobody wanted to be around some guy who could pop off any moment. You just, you know, you just set him off. He's just going to freak out on you, right? Can't live like that. What's a scar? This is what a scar does. It allows you to be able to look back where you have been hurt before. But when you look at the scar, you're reminded it's been healed. Been healed. Just, there is an open wound on your heart right now from a parent, from parents, and God wants to put a scar there. He wants to heal it completely. But still remember what he did. God promises that he can restore, renew, heal, and set you free. Anyone who has been abused, you can fully recover. You might have missed out on something in your childhood. Feel like you're never going to get something back. You're never going to have that relationship you wish you could have with a parent. But today, you can have something better. You can have the perfect love of a heavenly Father that actually heals all pains. He doesn't cause them, he heals them. Psalm 27:10. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Wow. Hold us, Lord. Before we close this morning, there's a promise of God I want to leave you with. It talks about the former shame. It talks about your former shame. Our Father is going to give you back double anything that has been taken from you. Did you hear me? Baby mic on?
Hello? You on? Hello? Pastor Harris is up here.
You know how cool God is? Not only does he not cause pain, he heals it. Not only does he not just just heal pain. He's going to give you back double anything that has been taken from you. Listen, it's all over the Bible. Raise your hand if you deserve salvation. Sorry, theological thing. Nobody deserves salvation. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have had to raise your hand. Sorry. Now people are like, oh man, I fell for it. Theologically, nobody deserves salvation. That's what makes grace and mercy so amazing, because we get what we don't deserve. The first time you sinned, you deserved hell. All right. That's what's awesome about Jesus. Not only does he come and give us the answer, but then he is the answer. And then he dies for us and he sets us free. If we go to him and we realize it's not all about us, and I've been trying to control my own life, but I realize that I was made for more. I was made for more than this. I was made to serve and to love God. And he died for me and he set me free. It's just like this morning, church. That pain that you have, not only is God going to heal it, there's a double portion coming. There's a double portion coming. God does not lack. He has cattle on every hill. God does not lack. He does not run out of blessings. God is going to give you back a double anything that has been taken from you. Isaiah 61, verse 7. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. Instead of your disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance, and so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. This is a promise for you, child. Will you look at me as I finish? Put them on speaker. This is for you, child. I don't know if you heard me. Whatever pain your parent did, whatever absence that they have in your life, or whatever brokenness, or whatever thing that they caused in you, whatever you're holding on to, whatever you're medicating, whatever's broken in you, this is for you, child. This is for you. Promise is for you. You who feels like you lost so much, who feels such shame and disgrace and hopelessness, today there's going to be a recompense. Comes from your Father in heaven. There's a different message for you this morning for your pain, and it comes from his throne. The old things will pass away. Behold, fancy word to say, look, see, something today will become brand new. Will you put your hand on your heart real quick? See, our Father's promises have the power to pull you through your pain. Power to actually give you a double portion of all you have lost if you just give him your pain and allow him to heal you and to set you free from it, from anything your parents did to you or didn't do for you. Will you stand, please? Will you put your hand back on your heart? Psalm 127:10. Even if my father and my mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Worship team, if you come, you don't have to be secretive. Just pop on up there, worship team. Prayer teams, will you go ahead and assume your positions? Just keep holding your hand in your heart. Just up here at the front, wherever. Leave some room for the altars, please. Pastor Cody, in a moment, would you help pull that up for me? See, God promises, his promises will pull you through your pain. Power to actually give you a double portion of all you have lost. If you'll just give him your pain, just give him your pain and allow him to heal you and set you free. He's going to put a scar where there's an open wound today, and he's going to give you a double portion of all that you've lost. The Heavenly Father will never, ever, ever let you down. Never. He loves you. He brings hope to you. I don't know exactly what happened to you in your house growing up, but you're in your Father's house.
Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. And my story isn't over, my story's just begun.